last year I gave a shiur on Shavuos, and I titled it "It's All Good" because it was about Nachum Ish Gamzu. And those who know Nachum Ish Gamzu, there's a shaila in the Rishonim on why he was called Gamzu. If it's Gamzu Latova or it's Gamza, because he was from a city called Gamza. It was Nachum, the man of the city of Gamza itself. And we all know his pithy saying, the saying that he used to go around saying, Gamzu Latova, that everything is for the best, that everything is for the good. And the shir revolved around his life and the two main stories that we know about him from the Gemara, right? Both those stories I highlighted and put through. And then it was the idea of what to take out of him. One of the well-known facts about Nachum Ish Gamzu is that he had a Talmud, a very, very famous Talmud known as Rabbi Akiva. This is something that appears in the Gemara in three different places. It also says that Rabbi Akiva served him for a period of 22 years. 22 years. It's a long time. We know that Rabbi Akiva was in yeshiva for 24 years by Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanis and Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. But this is something that's a little bit strange. What did he teach him? What did Nachum Ish Gamzu teach Rabbi Akiva? I mean, aside from Gamzu Latova, which obviously was something that he taught him all about the concept called Ribui Umiut. Ribui Umiut. That you can have something that's more klalius, almost like a klal prat, but it's used in a different fashion. We have a ribui, then you have a miut, and riba, miut, riba, and what it means and everything like that, as well as all of the essen in the Torah. He explained every single essen in the Torah, all inclusions and exclusions throughout Tanakh. What does it mean by the extra vav, the extra s? What does it teach you? And that was taught from Nachum Ish Gamzu to Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva became a person that was understanding even the crowns of the letters. That he got to the point where the Gemara Menachos says in Chav Tesem Abeis that Moshe Rabbeinu came to, so to speak, a shir of Rabbi Akiva's and couldn't understand what he was saying. Because Rabbi Akiva was darshaning on all these tiny little things that Nachum Ish Gamzu led him into. I think that what it means is not just that Rabbi Akiva learned pshat in the Torah and every idea that the Torah meant and understood, the way we understand it in a simple fashion. But he's able to show him how everything in the Torah is there for a purpose and that there are no accidents. I know that's something that we tell people, that every letter in the Torah is necessary and that there's something special about every letter, everything that's in the Torah itself. But it's something that we don't always see. We don't always realize it. And this is something that Nachum Ish Gamzu started off Rabbi Akiva's life with, to show him how everything is there. I don't know about anybody here, but when I was growing up, that's not the way they taught me. They taught me the general ideas, the basic general ideas, and they went down from there. But the little tiny nuances, I never learned that. I got that when I started learning later on, and I started doing my own svarim, I started reading myself, and then I could see the Torah Tamima and the Torah Shlema and how they take those little nuances and make from one to the other. That's where I got from over there. And it's strange. I mean, we sit there and we look at the Torah. You should question yourself. I don't know why I never noticed this until I was older. I don't know if anybody noticed it when they were younger. The fact that over 70% of the psukim in the Torah start with a vav, isn't that strange? Nobody starts off a sentence with the word and. That's not how you start off a sentence. Art scroll doesn't do that. In the English translation, they don't start off the psukim with and. They just say it as if it's part of the sentence, as if there's nothing there. But that ruins the vav, that takes away the purpose of that vav. And Rabbi Akiva was learning why every single reason, everything was there, that there's a reason to use a vav every time. There's a reason to put an S inside there in order to include other things or to add something or to tell you something that you didn't know beforehand. I had a chiddush regarding Nachum Ish Gamzu and Rabbi Akiva, and it's based on a book, Akiva, by a great German rabbi by the name of Marcus Lehman, Rabbi Marcus Lehman, who wrote a sefer that was tremendous, absolutely tremendous. The book Akiva is amazing. He also wrote Bustanoi. He wrote a bunch of different books, and obviously in German, and eventually was translated into English. This is one of them that was there. My chiddush is that there is no way Rabbi Akiva went to Nachum Ish Gamzu during those 24 years that he was in yeshiva by Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. We have this thought in our heads that Rabbi Akiva started off going to yeshiva for 24 years straight without stopping. And then he only came back 24 years later. I mean, he got married to Rachel, gone for 24 years, and then showed up 24 years later at his doorstep and said, oh, I'm back. And that's that. But it can't be, in my opinion. I just don't understand how it could be. He had three children from his wife, Rachel. The Gemara tells us in two different places that there's no way to have a child if a person separates from their wife for more than 10 years. Meaning if a person was together with his wife, then separates for 10 years, and then goes back to her, that woman is not going to be able to become pregnant, which means the children were born beforehand. But he had three kids, at least three kids. We know about a son by the name of Shimon. We know about another son that died, unfortunately, at an early age. It could be there's a third son, and we're not sure. And we know about a daughter named Shulamis, quoted by the Yerushalmi, who eventually became the wife of Ben-Azai, or whoever it was, definitely had a husband at some point, because she's the one that saw the snake in the wall. She took a brooch and she put it in the wall. So we know that that happened with Rabbi Akiva's daughter. So we know about that. It could be there were more daughters. It could be there were more kids. But at least that amount of kids. He had at least, we know of, at least two boys, one girl, possibly four boys and two girls. And there could be even more that we just don't know about. But that's there. I don't understand how that could have happened. If he left for 24 years and didn't come back, the famous Reb Chaim Shmulevitz shmooze from the Sichos Musar, that he didn't even come in for a second. He overheard what was happening, and that his wife was arguing with a neighbor and said, I wish my husband would go out for another 12 years. And he didn't even stop at home. He went back immediately. This is the famous Reb Chaim. But if he didn't go back, how could he have had these kids? Granted, I guess they could have been triplets from when he got married originally, and that would be that, two boys and a girl. But it doesn't seem that way. It seems that he was there. It doesn't make any sense at all because, again, even if Rabbi Kiva's wife would have said, go, I want you to be in yeshiva for 24 years, and she'll take care of herself, and the support wouldn't be necessary whatsoever. Nonetheless, learning by Nachum Yish Gamzu for 22 years is strange. Does that go in with the 24 years? The 24 years, out of those 24, 22 of them were by Nachum Yish Gamzu? Because when did he learn by Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer? We know after 24 years, he had 24,000 Talmidim. So when did he gain all those Talmidim? It seems like there were years that were added on with all of this. Aside from that, aside from all that, just simply put, shot-wise, we know when Rabbi Akiva died by the Bar Kokhba Rebellion. We know when the Bar Kokhba Rebellion happened in the year 132. We know that Rabbi Akiva lived for 120 years. That means if he lived for 120 years and he died in the year 132 of the Common Era, that means he was born in the year 12. So let's do a quick math thing. We all know that Rabbi Akiva found HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the age of 40. That brings us to the year 52. 24 years he sat by Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. If he left right then, at 52, and he learned for 24 years, that means when the Beis HaMikdash was being destroyed in the year 70, he was sitting in yeshiva by Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Why wouldn't you go home to your wife then? There's no way the yeshiva was running properly. And I know Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked from Vespasian for the yeshiva to be moved. But if you're moving anyway, why wouldn't you go home during that time? Why wouldn't you check on your wife and to make sure she's okay when there's a massive war going on in Eretz Yisrael? It just doesn't make any sense to me at all. Meanwhile, you take some of those years, you say that at the age of 52, he learned by Nachum Yish Gamzu, worked at night, was around for 22 years. You take 52, you add on 22, that brings you to around 74. At that time, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had just passed away. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer became the Rosh Yeshiva. Then Rabbi Akiva goes to yeshiva and learns for 24 years. I feel it makes a lot more sense. It just makes a lot more sense that he started learning those 24 years then. And then, when his kids were already a little bit older and could help around, then he left for 24 years straight. I have no raya. I just have these gemaras that are there. But the idea is that he learned from Nachum Yish Gamzu, and he learned about these midos and the concept, the midos of the Torah and the midos of human beings. That's what Gamzu Latova meant. And he went through. I'll tell you something else. Nechemyah HaMsuni darshaned all the Essen Shebet Torah. There is a Yerushalmi that says that Nechemyah HaMsuni's student was Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva learned by him for 22 years. We have Rabbi Akiva learning how to darshan the essence of the Torah from Nachum Yish Gamzu. And you have a Nechemyah HaMsuni who taught Rabbi Akiva for 22 years. And one of the things he specialized in was the essence Shebet Torah. We all know that the student said to him, Rabbi, what are you going to do with the last S? Right? Es Hashem Elokech HaTira. And he separated from me. He said, Rebbe, what are you going to do with all the Es and Yidarshan? And he said, Kishem Shekivalti Skar LaDrisha, Kakti Kivalti Skar LaPrisha. According to the Sefer Otzer Yisrael, it's an encyclopedia written by a guy by the name of Rav Eisenstein, who wrote a bunch of things, all the Otzers. He says, Ho'am Suni is the same words as Gamze, that the Ayin and the Gimel are interchangeable. They both come from the throat. And Am Suni is Gamze, and Nechemyah is Nachum. And Nachum Yish Gamzu is really Nechemyah HaMsuni. It's the same person. They learn the same things. It's indicative throughout, but it makes a lot of sense when it goes through. So what do I want with all this? If we understand a little bit more about Rabbi Akiva, how do we get to the person of who he was, that he learned by Nachum Ish Gamzu, that he learned that every letter in the Torah was necessary, every vav, every s, every single little nuance of the Torah was necessary. There's something that Nachum Ish Gamzu, without a question, brought in that allowed him to become the person that he became and helps us understand what these times are. Every letter in the Torah, and the Gemara says there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. Every single letter in the Torah corresponds to another neshama of Klal Yisrael. There aren't 600,000 letters in the Torah, but in that sense, there aren't 600,000 Jews. There are 600,000 neshamos and 600,000 somehow letters that exist within the Torah. And just like every single letter is necessary, every single Jew is necessary as well. If you look at every part of the Torah and you understand that a word that means nothing, the word S means nothing. The letter Vav that starts off a pasuk does not get translated. It doesn't get put into the art scroll translation or any translation for that matter. It doesn't say and all over the place. A letter that seems to be completely unnecessary is still absolutely necessary. We need it. We need it in order to understand the next line, whatever we need to do. It's there for a reason. If that's the shot behind it, then there's no question in my mind. There's a purpose to every single Jew. Now, I might question that. I might look at certain people and say to myself, I don't really understand why that guy's here in this world. That guy doesn't make any sense. But if I understand that every letter has a purpose, I might not get every reason for every letter, and I might not fully understand why it says the word S or the word letter Vav here. I need a Rebbe Akiva to do that. I also might not understand why everybody's here, but it's true. Every single person has a purpose. If there was no purpose for him, he wouldn't be here. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need a person like that around. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody is supposed to be here. That means that every single person should be looking out at the next and saying, let's see the Tzelem Elokim of that Jew, of that non-Jew, of any person that exists in this world. They have a Tzelem Elokim. There's an image of theirs. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. But a Tzelem that appears to be a Tzelem Elokim. There's something special about that person. And when we look at every single person, we should think to ourselves, that person is special. That person needs to be here. And we should treat them differently because of that. Do I disagree with them? Do I think that they're wrong about certain things? Yeah, you're allowed to disagree. You're allowed to say that I think you're wrong. I don't agree with your derech. Or what you're doing, or why you're doing it. But every person has a reason. Every person has that purpose. And a person like Rabbi Akiva, who learned from a Nachum Ish Gamzu, who understood a reason for everything, can understand that every single person has their place. Now, when Rabbi Akiva has 24,000 Talmidim, and the 24,000 Talmidim die, all in a period of what we call now Sphira. You can understand that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, more than any others, Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim who needed to bring about the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh is all based on Rabbi Akiva's teachings and his Talmidim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar. You can understand that if they weren't knowing kavod in each other, that means they missed out on the teachings that Rabbi Akiva had. Rabbi Akiva combining whatever you want to call Nachum Ish Gamzu's teachings. I don't want to call it Derech Eretz. That minimizes, it almost mitigates the power of what he was saying. But the idea of understanding that everything has a purpose and its place. And that's what Nachum Ish Gamzu was telling Rabbi Akiva. That there's a reason for everything. And to take that along and to miss that idea by not treating people properly and by saying that people are just not worthy of my time, my honor, or anything like that, that's taking away from what Rabbi Akiva was teaching them. Those people could not be part of the Mesorah, and those people cannot be part of our Torah Sheba'al Peh. It makes sense that those Talmidim had to die. Those Talmidim could not be around for the future. We'll call it the progeny of what became Torah Sheba'al Peh. The children that they had in creating Mishnayis and eventually the Gemara and all the Midrashim. that we have based on that. A person like Rabbi Akiva, who is able to take down and understand where every person goes, his Talmidim don't understand that every person has a place. His Talmidim don't get that there has to be kavod between one another. That can't be. That can't be. And for that reason, we have a different derech. The Rav Meir, Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Rav Elazar, they argued with each other. They disagreed all over the place. The Mishnayos are filled with the machlokasim of the Tana Kama and whoever else is arguing with them. The Gemara is filled with machlokasim from the Talmidim of the Talmidim and the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. But to understand that that person may argue with me, he may have an argument, but I should respect him. There's respect that he deserves. That's something that had to be taught to them. That had to be taught. And they got it. They understood it. Of course, I simply put, obviously, there is a difference when a person is arguing with a person of the stature, of Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Elazar, how to treat them, versus arguing with someone who is a Reform Yid or somebody who doesn't get it. I get that. There's a difference between them. But there has to be a level of respect that you give to everybody on Earth, on this planet. That everybody you give, there has to be something that's given everyone. And when that respect is not shown, when the respect isn't there, that the person to me is just a higher form of an animal. He's just an animal plus. And therefore I can treat him as an animal plus. I can steal from him, I can cheat him, I can do whatever I want. Then you've completely missed the idea of what Rabbi Akiva wanted to espouse. You've missed the idea of what it means to have every letter in the Torah. Every one of those letters in the Torah, I know I said 600,000 yidden, but every person is connected with those 600,000 neshamos. That means that every person has a reason for being here, whether I like it or not. He could be a random person in Bangladesh, a person who's living in the deep forest of Africa who will have no shaychus to what a Jew is, will never hear about the name a Jew. He's living in the middle of absolute nowhere. A person who lives in China, who lives in the Himalayan mountains, all the way up as if there's absolutely nothing there. In the range that there's no shaychus, that person still has a purpose. There's still a reason for him. And there's an important reason for him, or he wouldn't be here. There's no reason. And that, Rabbi Akiva's teachings and his Talmidim that made it helped us understand that there's something that we have to find in everyone. A Tzelem Elokim that we can find in everyone, in absolutely everyone. You want to extend that, you can take it to animals as well. Not to show cruelty to animals, because even they have a purpose. Even bugs have a purpose. Even everything has a purpose in some way, shape, or form. And to not waste or to not destroy or whatever, that idea of Baal Tashlis, to not do anything there. But to at least use it, to your fellow Bachur Min Yeshiva, to the people that are out there on the streets, to the people that deserve our respect, a tiny, tiny bit of our respect. But more and more as time goes on and we build up on it and we make it better, this is something that should be obvious to everyone. It wasn't, and 24,000 Talmidim had to die in order to get this lesson imparted, but it should be obvious that everyone out there deserves our respect. And we have to show some form, some sort of respect for everyone at any time. If we understood that for ourselves, we take that in for ourselves, we're going to find it's a different world in front of us. I'm going to end with a story. It's a classic one. It's one of those that a guy comes into a gas station outside of a big city, and he says to the gas attendant who's there, he says, "Hey, can you tell me what are the people like in the city up ahead?" And the gas attendant says, "Oh, the people up ahead, I'll tell you, but tell me first, what are the people like in your city?" They said, "The people in my city, they're all selfish. They do things for themselves. I can't stand them. Every time I talk to them, you know, they say hateful things. They do hurtful things. I don't like them at all." "So what are the people like ahead?" So the gas attendant says, I'm sorry to tell you that the people up ahead, they're the exact same way. They're selfish. They do hateful things. They do hurtful things. You're going to find a really hard time living there." And he said, "All right, thank you." And he goes out on his way. Next guy comes in. And the car comes to the gas attendant. He says, the guy says the exact same thing. "What are the people like in the city ahead?" The gas attendant says the same thing. "What are the people like in your town?" And he says, "People in my town are the nicest people." Right? They're always looking out for the best thing for other people. They're always talking to others. It's a really, really nice town. So the gas attendant said, "When you go to the next city, you're going to see the exact same thing. The people are really nice. They're always looking out to help you. They're really, really kind people. The guy's saying, what you feel about yourself, what you see around you, that's how the people are going to treat you. And in that sense, when you show kavod to others, you're going to get the proper kavod right back. You're going to be given kavod the same amount commensurate to what you've given. So utilize that properly. Understand that for yourselves. Take the lesson of what Rabbi Akiva tried to give over to those Talmidim. Take it for ourselves and understand, kavod needs to be shown to everyone, no matter what. Level of kavod, okay, different levels maybe, but kavod must be shown to every person. Have a good day, everyone.